Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 9 months FY25 earnings conference call of BLS International Limited, hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Nikhil Shetty from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good day, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, I appreciate you joining us for the Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings call of BLS International Services Limited. Today, we have with us the leadership team to discuss the company's operational and financial performance. So we have with us Nikhil Gupta, Managing Director, Shikhar Aggarwal, Joint Managing Director, Amit Sudhakar, CFO, Loknath Panda, COO, Digital Business, Gaurav Chugh, Head of Investor Relations. With that, I now hand over the call to the Gaurav. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking time out to join this call. Just to remind you that this discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It may be viewed in conjunction with our businesses that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal for his opening remarks, post which Mr. Amit Sudhakar will discuss the financial performance of the company, and then we'll open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Shikhar.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on BLS International's Q3 and 9-month financial earnings call today. We trust you had the chance to review our results, press release, and investor presentation, which are available on both the stock exchanges and our company's website. I am delighted to present an update on our company's performance, which reflects a period of significant growth and strength. In the quarter and 9 months of the fiscal year 2025, we have recorded a robust increase in our consolidated revenues of 17% and 22% year-on-year to 513 and 1500 crores respectively. These figures represent the highest revenue we have attained for the corresponding periods to date. Also to highlight, we have surpassed our FY24 EBITDA and profit number within 9 months of this fiscal. In terms of profitability, our performance for the quarter has been remarkable, with the EBITDA experiencing a substantial year-on-year 79% growth to 158 crores, with our profit after tax has also seen around a 50% increase to 128 crores. The integration of new businesses, we have acquired iData, Citizenship Invest, and Adi Fidelis, coupled with our transformative shift from a partner-run to a self-managed model, have significantly strengthened our margin profile in the current period. We have witnessed EBITDA margin expansion of approximately 1,000 basis points in both Q3 and 9-month period. If you look at this fiscal, we have invested over 1,000 crores across various acquisitions. While the integration of new business is going as per plan, we continue to witness strong cash flow generation, which translates to a healthy balance sheet with a net cash position of around 690 crores as of 31st December 2024. We are committed to delivering robust financial performances, which is evident in our strategic focus and ongoing structural enhancements we are implementing within our business model. These concentrated efforts are designed to solidify our foundation and propel us towards sustained growth and profitability. During Q3 FY25, the number of visa applications processed has increased from 7.14 lakh in Q3 FY24 to 9.08 lakh, a strong growth of 27% year-on-year. This growth is in sync with the trajectory of global travel and tourism sector, which has been riding the wave of new trends and technologies, offering a conducive environment for us to expand our business. Additionally, our net revenue per application has witnessed a year-on-year growth of 26%, climbing from ₹2250 in Q3 FY24 to ₹2837 in Q3 FY25, reflecting our operational efficiency and value creation. In 9 months, the direct revenue per application has grown by around 40% to rupees 2800. The acquisition of Citizenship Invest was completed in October 2024. Citizen Invest puts us at the forefront of the industry for residency and citizen programs with an expanded presence in over 15 countries. The strategic move bolsters BLS expertise in providing comprehensive visa solutions, but also leverages CII's esteemed standing and influence in the HNI category. With the acquisition of CII, we are poised to significantly increase the processing volumes and reinforce our market position. We began to consolidate the financial performance of CII into the performance of our quarter. Further, I'm happy to report we also conducted the RD Phyllis loan solutions acquisitions on November 26, 2024, and is being consolidated under our digital service businesses effective the same date. ASPL stands as a prominent entity in the India's loan distribution and processing sector with an extensive network that spans the nation. Our digital business has also been witnessing robust performance driven by both organic and inorganic growth. Its revenue from operations grew 87% to 137 crores in Q3 FY25 as compared to 74 crores in Q3 FY24. Organic growth of the business was 16%. EBITDA of the business grew by 88% to around 18 crores from 9.4 crores in Q3 FY24. Looking ahead, we are committed to nurturing organic expansion in our visa and consular and digital service business segments, and concurrently, we are on the lookout for avenues of inorganic growth on both domestic and global markets. Our projections for the ongoing fiscal year are optimistic, and we are focused on fostering enduring growth. In conclusion, I want to reaffirm our unwavering confidence in the forthcoming quarters. The BLS team is resolutely dedicated to propelling growth within our principal business divisions. We firmly believe that these strategic measures we have put in place will serve as a solid foundation for sustained success in the years to come. Now, I'll turn over the call to Mr. Amit Sudhakar, our CFO, for further updates on the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Chigar. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to present the consolidated financial performance for the third quarter and 9 month ended December 31st, 2024. In the quarter Q3 FY25, we achieved a revenue of 513 crores, marked a robust year-on-year increase of 70% from 438 crores reported in Q3 FY24. We continue to see strong momentum and remain optimistic about our potential growth in the coming quarters. Our EBITDA for the quarter surged to ₹1.58 crores, up from 89 crores in the same period last year, registering a substantial growth of 79%. The EBITDA margin for this quarter was 31%, expanded by 1,059 basis points year over year. The increase in our margin is a result of our successful cost optimization strategy, which includes shifting to self-managed model and integration of new businesses. As mentioned by Shikhar as well, we have begun integration of Citizenship Invest into our portfolio in this quarter. Profit before tax for the quarter was reported at 140 crores, a 54% increase from 91 crores in the third quarter of previous financial year. The profit after tax also shows a reverse performance at 128 crores compared to 87 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, reflecting a growth of 47%. The earning per share for the quarter stood at 2.93 rupees per share as compared to 2.05 rupees per share in Q3 FY24. Coming to 9 months performance, the 9 month revenue stood at 1,501 crore as compared to 1,229 crores, registering a growth of 22% over previous period. The EBITDA for 9 month FY25 stood at 455 crore versus 255 crore in the corresponding 9 months last year, a robust growth of 78%. The EBITDA margin for 9 months FY25 stood at 30.3% against 20.8% in 9 months FY24, an expansion of 956 basis points. The profit after tax stood at 94 crores as compared to 240 crores in the previous corresponding 9 months, a growth of 64%. Now coming to segmental highlights, in Q3 FY25, our visa consular service segment revenue stood at 376 crores. Net revenue grew by 60% YOY to 258 crores as compared to 161 crores reported in Q3 FY24. The EBITDA for this segment expanded by 77% to 140 crores with an EBITDA margin of 37.4%. This represented an increase of 1,564 basis points over 21.7% margin recorded in Q3 FY24. Looking at the 9 months, visa consular service revenue grew by 22% to rupees 1,209 crores, up from 991 crores in 9 months FY24. The net revenue was up by 78% YOY from 436 crores to 775 crores in 9 months FY25. The EBITDA was also, EBITDA for the same period experienced a significant year-on-year increase of 85%, reaching 414 crores with an EBITDA margin of 34%. The margin widened by 1,171 basis points compared to 23% margin in 9 months FY24, reflecting an ongoing commitment to growth and efficiency. In Q3 FY25, our digital business segment reported a robust revenue growth of 87% YOY to 137 crores as compared to 74 crores in the same quarter of the previous financial year. This includes adding business solution revenue of 53 crores consolidated from 26 November 2024 onwards. The EBITDA for the segment scaled significantly by 88% YOY to 18 crores in Q1 FY25. EBITDA margins stood at 12.9%. In 9 months FY25, the digital business revenue stood at 293 crores as compared to 238 crores in the corresponding period. EBITDA for the segment stood at 42 crores in 9 months FY25 compared to 32 crores in 9 months FY24. EBITDA margin stood at 14.2% in 9 months FY25 against 13.4% reported in 9 months FY24. Having invested upward of 1,000 crore in new acquisition during FY25, primarily funded through internal accruals, the company remains a strong financial position. As on 31st December 2024, our balance sheet reflects a healthy net cash reserve of 690 crores. That's all from my side. I will request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Atim Bojwala from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I want to know that how much is the contribution from the acquisition done in the visa segment. So iData and the other company which we had acquired, Citizenship company. So how much is the contribution in the visa segment?
If you look at iData in the current quarter, they have contributed about 25 crores and Citizenship Invest has contributed of 4.75 crores. Profits of the profit.
Net profit.
Net profit, yeah.
Just by that.
The 25 crore is from iData and
4.75 crore from
Citizenship.
And sir, can you provide same data for the revenue?
Yeah, so the revenue in iData was around 59 crores and Citizenship was about 13 crores.
Sir, if I, let's say if I adjust 59 plus 13, so it comes to 60, 72 crore. Let's say if I reduce from the current number to just see the organic number, then I see a degrowth in the number. But the visa count has increased by 27%. So I'm not able to understand that on one hand the count is increasing.
Yes, I think we have understood the point. So basically, Amit, you can add, and this is, you talk about year on year, we have got, if you see the net revenue, that has actually increased.
So basically, we look at the net revenue, the growth, because there is a, as we have talked about the change in the business model. Hello?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So can you check that there is a growth matching with the growth in the
so
numbers?
Is your top line impacted by the business model change?
No. Top line has not affected because of the change in this, but mainly it is more on the net revenue.
Okay, sir. Sorry, also if you can, in the e-service segment, how much the acquired company has contributed?
It's about, Adi Fitness has contributed about 49 crores.
Okay, sir, I'll thank you for the answers. I'll come back with the questions.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Oh. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Hi.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. So my first question is regarding, we have categorized the three type of services, huh? Core services, value-added and personalized citizen services. So can you provide the bifurcation of turnover and margin between them?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
But we have categorized our services in three types of services: core services, value-added services, and providing citizenship services.
So talking about VLS e-services.
Yeah. So can you bifurcate the turnover and margin between them?
I think that were three lines of business that we are doing. That we are providing banking correspondent services. We are providing e-governance services, and we also provide assisted e-commerce, you know, at the time of IPO we had mentioned. But the margins are pretty similar in all these segments, you know. Till now we don't bifurcate because, you know, in the same state we are doing multiple things, you know. We are also running banking correspondent, we are also running e-governance using the same centers. We are also providing assisted e-commerce using the same centers. So that is why we don't bifurcate the numbers.
Okay. Okay, sir. So just another one. So other income down from 23.4 crore to 14.7 crore Q on Q basis.
So Shikhar also talked about that we have done the investment in the new businesses. So the interest from fixed deposit have come down.
Okay. And so our net profit margin and operating profit margin also down Q on Q basis. So what is the sustainable, any reason, and what will be the sustainable margin?
See, we have been saying that we want to maintain over 30% margin in our visa business, and digital business will change because of the mix of Adi Fitless and the other businesses. They have a different percentage of margins, so there will be a change happening depending on the revenue mix in that particular quarter.
But if you see our visa business, our margin has grown overall 36% in the last quarter year, last quarter, and it was 20% last year, but now it has grown to 37%. So there has been a little change in the e-governance business because the Adipalace business that we acquired is at lesser margin, but more, you know, profits overall are growing, if you see. So definitely, you know, these are business specifically, we want to maintain the margins, and each of services also, you know, probably it will maintain themselves.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Shikharji. Hi Amitji. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you well.
Yeah, just I had a question around if we see the seasonality part, if I see last year number of visa applications is around 7.14 lakh applications in Q2, Q3 and Q4. And this year we have seen a dip on Q-on-Q basis. From 10 lakh we have come to 9 lakh visa applications. So how should we read these numbers and what kind of numbers should we expect for quarter four? Should we expect 1.2 million applications for quarter four? How we should read that number?
So see, if you see this quarter, we have done around 9 lakh applications, correct? And if you see the same quarter last year, in December 23, we had done around 7 lakh applications. But if you see previous quarter, we had done 10 lakhs. So obviously, since this quarter, you know, there is seasonality. December, people travel less, you know, November, December. So that is why we have done lesser numbers compared to last quarter. Still, you know, because of the acquisition of iData and new contracts that we had started, there has been an addition in the numbers, you know, and it has actually increased from 7 lakhs that we did last year. You know, there was some organic growth, some because of the acquisition, some new tenders, and that is the reason we have done 9 lakhs. You know, in this quarter. And going forward, you know, quarter four, January is also a little less, but February, March, we start seeing numbers coming up. And quarter one, we see good travel going on. So definitely, you know, going forward, we feel the numbers should go up.
No, I was referring to Q2, Q3, Q4, FY24. The numbers were broadly the same. There was no seasonality impact in FY24. In FY25, we have seen a dip of 10% Q1Q in Q3 FY25. So how we should read the Q4
reason? Actually last year what happened was one of our contracts that we run for the Indian Embassy in Canada, you know, there was a major surge in Q3 in terms of revenue. There was a change in the environment over there, policy wherein people had to you know, come to the center, you know, because of some change in regulation in the local laws of the country. So that is why for the that quarter last year we had seen a certain surge in revenue, you know, but now it has come back to normality this year. So that is why normally on an ongoing basis quarter three is seasonally is less for us as a company.
Got it. So now if I have to see FY26, what kind of PAT guidance you would like to give to the market? Because this year probably we're going to close around 520 to 550 crore kind of a number on the PAT front, FY25. So FY26, you can still think that the growth would be, let's say, more than 30% on the PAT front, FY26?
See, if I talk about the past, you know, and tell you about the market, where it is heading. You know, if you see in the last 5 years, we've done 70% CAGR growth in terms of profitability. You know, this year, in 9 months, the entire profits of the last year we have surpassed already. You know, we have already spent 1,000 crores of rupees on acquisition. If you see in the future, you know, many new tenders that we are bidding for, there are billions of dollars of tenders that are coming out on an organic basis. Then inorganically also, we are looking at acquisition opportunities. So definitely, first of all, our objective is to maintain, you know, whatever number that we have achieved, we want to make that the new base. Whatever margins we have achieved, we want to make that the new base. And going forward, definitely, there are multiple opportunities, both on the organic and on the inorganic front. So definitely, you know, we would want the company keeps on continuing to grow. We have not given any, you know, any projection or such, you know, to the market that this is the percentage you want to grow at, but as having, you know, seen our past, the potential is there. Only 50% of the market is outsourced. Billions of dollars of contracts are coming up for renewal. You know, we are eligible for all these tenders. There are multiple other countries which have never outsourced or outsourced it for the first time. We're also looking at inorganic growth, both in BLS International and BLS e-services. So definitely, I think if you combine all those multiple factors, there is a good leeway for growth in the future.
So you believe 700 crore is a reasonable estimate to make for FY26 as a PAT number?
What is the reason? Sorry, can you repeat?
700 crores, is that a reasonable estimate to make for FY26?
See, I actually what I've told you is that I don't want to comment on any specific numbers, you know, but what we have done in the past, we want to maintain whatever numbers we want to make that as a base, you know, and then as I've told you, there are many opportunities both on organic and inorganic front, and definitely, you know, we as a company, negative working capital, cash flowing company, so definitely we feel that we will grow as a company, but exact numbers I do not want to, I cannot mention at this stage.
Sure, I completely understand. In the visa and consular business, what percentage of business is now not directly dependent on visa? Like what percentage would be visa and what percentage would be non-visa in the visa and consular business?
That percentage normally we don't take out. You know, if you see in the COVID period, we did, 50 crores of profit each year. Still, that was only on the back of consular service business. Obviously, that has also grown. So, I don't know the exact mix of how much is exactly consular, how much is visa, because in many countries, you know, both the embassy outsources all the services to us, which is including consular and the visa. So, there is no specific mix that we have taken out.
Got it.
Mr. Shah, may we request you to please rejoin the queue. We have participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, just a clarification, the 25 crores and 4.75 crores numbers that you gave for iData and citizenship, these are EBITDA numbers, right? Not net profits.
These are net profit numbers, right? The net profit numbers.
Last quarter you gave a 23 crores EBITDA for iData.
Yeah, so iData, the revenue was about 59 crores and they had profit of 25 crores in this quarter.
And we got only last quarter
for Q2 you said EBITDA was 23 crores. Now you're saying that was 25 crores for this quarter.
No. I think you're very confused. We only mentioned about this current quarter.
Current
that has just gone down, the third quarter, the December ending. We have done a profit before tax of around 25 crores in iData and 4.75 crores in Citizenship Invest.
Okay. What would be the number of applications for iData during the quarter?
I think that we have to find out. That I don't think we have the bifurcation right now, but we'll get back to you on that.
Okay. So the second question was basically this year, if we look at our growth, the growth has broadly come from a substantial increase in our margins and some of the inorganic acquisition that we have done. Now going ahead next year, do you think there is more room for us to expand our margins from where currently it is and to be able to do, you know, certain big ticket size of acquisition? Because otherwise, I mean, do you think there are organic-wise, you are looking at some of the contracts that will close that will deliver you the kind of growth that we have been seeing?
No, if you see,
otherwise, sequentially, there is hardly any growth in the core business.
So how if you see, how can you say that? If you see, last year we had done 88 crores of EBITDA, you know, on a combined level, you know, in December quarter. And this year we have done 140 crores of EBITDA. So if you subtract...
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to say. This year, obviously, we have seen a substantial increase in our margin.
If you see, we subtract the iData and citizenship numbers from 140 crores, the number comes to around 110 crores. So from compared to 88 crores, we have got 110 crores of EBITDA, you know, only on organic basis, you know. So there has been a surge of 30-40% even on the organic business. And if you see,
I'm not denying that. Obviously, you have delivered a substantial increase on the core business margins. Those were like low 20s, this year is like 30s. But from here onwards, do you still believe you can expand margins from here? I think that would be difficult, right?
See, first of all, we as a company want to operate at a sustainable basis. We are always aiming for obviously more efficiencies that we can bring into the business. If you see, last year we were doing 20% of the EBITDA margin at consolidated level. This year we have reached 30% level, From last quarter there has been a little dip because of the acquisition of our subsidiary. Our subsidiary acquired this company, RDFS Loan Solutions, which is at a lesser margin. Definitely our objective, as I've said in the past, is to maintain the margins that we have achieved. Whatever quarter, whatever margins we achieve, we want to maintain that, and we keep on striving for bringing in efficiencies in our business that may or may not lead to increase in margin in the future. Definitely whatever we have achieved, we want to maintain that. That is what I want to specify.
Okay, got it. Just the iDATA application number for the quarter, if you got it.
Sorry?
The number of applications for iDATA, if you have got it.
That we need to, maybe we can send you this separately because we don't have those numbers handy right now.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tanish from Breeze Capital. Please go ahead.
Do you have any data on what percentage of your existing contracts are up for renewal in next two, three years?
We have renewed 90% of our contracts. As we have said in the last one, two years after COVID, a lot of these contracts came up for renewal. Spain, we have won the contract again. Last few years, we have won the contract with the Indian Embassy in Canada again. 90% of our contracts we have renewed.
What percentage will be renewal next year, next two years?
Next two years, see, all these contracts are five to seven years, some are 10-year cycle. As I said, most of the contracts we have renewed. Next two years, probably 5%-10% of the contracts might be coming up for renewal.
What amount of new contracts are you looking to bid in next two, three years, bifurcated by geography, if you have any data? Where is the traction?
We have already specified that there are multiple tenders that we are bidding for, a multi-billion dollar worth of opportunities that we are bidding for. There are different stages of bidding. A lot of this we have won. If you see the press releases and announcements that we have done in the last one year, we have added new contracts with Portuguese, Poland, Italy, Hungary, Czech Republic, many governments that we have added. There are multiple other tenders also that we are bidding for, and some of the countries which are outsourcing for the first time also. There are multiple opportunities that we're looking at.
Just another bookkeeping question. What is the difference between the net revenue and the revenue from operations in the visa and consular segment? Like, what are line items are not included in the net revenue?
Yeah. Tanish, basically the direct expenses and like commission or when we had the partner model, what we used to pay them was a direct expense. For example, courier charges. The Blue Card payment has been netted off, and it is net revenue basically means is the net revenue which we are earning per application. That is what we focus on, and we strive to increase that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Bairathi from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry if this question is being repetitive. Just wanted to understand on the sequential revenue bit. We have seen the number of applicants and the revenue per applicant dipping this quarter sequentially, which has impacted our revenues. In Q2 as well, if we remove the iDATA revenue, sequentially, we saw a dip of almost 13.5%-14%. Any color on that will be really helpful. The second part of the revenue is that we have done three acquisitions in the past, in the previous couple of quarters. When do we see this revenue growth kicking in sequentially?
See, I think we did not understand your questions properly, but from what we've understood is that quarter-on-quarter, as we have explained, there's a dip in the volume, because of seasonality impact. Still, if you see our net revenue per application has actually gone up. Right?
Right.
Actually quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year, both the parameters, our revenue per application has gone up. only the overall revenue has dipped because of the volume drop, you know. I think that is what was the first point. Second point, and the second, see, how we look at it, our existing business growth depends on the growth in the travel industry. If the travel industry overall grows at around 11% CAGR, then our growth, we work on, say, 15% as a growth in our numbers and revenue.
Got it, sir. Sir, second question is on the cash. We are carrying around 700 crores of cash balance. Are we planning any more acquisitions going further?
See, this year, this financial year, we already spent upwards of 1,000 crores in acquisitions, and, you know, definitely, we have spent a major chunk. Still, we have 700 crores of net cash on the books. Going forward, as we have explained in the past, you know, we are constantly looking at value-accretive opportunities for the company, both from organic and inorganic basis. But definitely, we are open for inorganic opportunities, as well as when we win new tenders, technology, we need to deploy cash. So, we are very open for more opportunities in the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Dholke from CGMC Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Agarwal. I believe that you have given a number of 49 crore as a revenue of AdiFidelis. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So I just wanted to know that, this number is for entire, quarter three, or I think it has been acquired at the end of the November, so this number is for December or for the entire quarter three?
I think this is some part of November and December.
26th November onward.
26th November onwards.
Okay. So, if I'm not wrong, in FY 2024, this company has done a revenue of 577 crore. So can I assume that in quarter two, in quarter four, the number could be around, the revenue could be around 150 crore for AdiFidelis?
Yeah, that is what we expect.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gopalakrishnan from Uttaransh Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent afternoon to the team. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please.
Yeah, fantastic. Actually, sir, I found that, you know, this iDATA and Citizen Invest Trust, those, the EBITDA is, you know, phenomenally higher by around 50% from the data that you have provided in the investor presentation. So going forward, the 30% EBITDA that you have achieved will definitely be more, right? So say, for example, in FY 2026, you know, can I say that your EBITDA will be close to 40%, something like that?
See, if you see the actual numbers that we have given you, in Citizenship Invest, our EBITDA is close to 27%, and iDATA, the EBITDA is close to 41%. And these companies are operating in specific geography for specific governments. We have been operating as a global company across the world, so some countries' margins are lesser, some countries' margins are more. And from that point of view, if you see, we have reached from a 20% last year now to a 30% consolidated margins. And our main objective is to maintain this number, you know. We don't want to have haphazard growth, so our objective is to maintain the number, and we are looking at cost efficiencies and economies of scale in the future.
If you see our quarterly visa segment EBITDA margin, they are also nearing to 37%. So in visa business, because these companies are coming under visa and consular business segment, we are achieving those 37% EBITDA.
No, actually, but this particular iDATA, the EBITDA is 59%, and Citizenship, the EBITDA is 45%. As you said, okay, it is on a specific geography, but going forward, I thought, you know, it must average down to around at least 40%. If, I mean, if, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, actually, you are wrong, because iDATA EBITDA is at 41%, you know, and are in our numbers that we have achieved this quarter, and Citizenship Invest is at 37%. And if you see our visa numbers, we've achieved a EBITDA margin of 37%.
Okay. And then my second question is regarding this digital business. this seems to be a drag on our total business. Is there any plan to spin off digital business into a separate entity like what you have done with e-services?
See, first of all, we do not believe it's a drag. If you see, retail business is a volume-generating business, and since it is a business mostly operating in India, we get paid in INR. You know, it's a volume business. So if you see, our overall profit this quarter is at 18 crores compared to 9 crores last year, you know, last year same quarter. So actually, we have doubled our profits, you know, in this business. And going forward, we feel that there's a big opportunity. You know, we have done 87% of revenue growth in this business. So I feel definitely, you know, this business also has a big potential in the next few years. And as we add more value-added service spectra, I think in the long run, the margins will also go up in this business, you know, per application. But if you see in total basis, you know, total revenue is growing, total profits is growing. So definitely, you know, I feel that this is also a good synergistic business for our company.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dinesh Kulkarni from Finsight. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you for the opportunity and a really good set of numbers. So my question is, where do you think the next set of, the next phase of growth would come for our company, assuming, as you just mentioned, that we already have done 1,000 crores of, you know, acquisitions, and we have cash balance close to 700 crores. So, like, just want to know, like, whether it will be more of organic or inorganic, if you could elaborate on that.
I think, as I've already mentioned in last couple of questions, the same answer I can give you again, that we are looking at both the opportunities. There are multiple billion dollars of contracts that are coming up for renewal, multiple services, multiple geographies that we are bidding for, and different services. So organically also, you know, we have been winning a lot of tenders, and next few years also, we expect the same. Inorganically also, we have essentially acquired these three, four companies only in the last one, 2 years. Next few years also, we are looking at different inorganic opportunities. So both,
yeah,
both the places, growth will come from.
So my question is more on terms of, like, say, whatever growth we have achieved in the last, like, 20-30% CAGR growth, is that achievable again, you know? Or is it, are we, like, fully penetrated now and, you know, we don't see this kind of high double digit or 20% plus growth?
No, as I said, we are still at the tip of the iceberg. You know, there is full potential in the market. Only 50% market outsourced. 50% market is still getting outsourced. And out of the 50% market, which is outsourced, multiple tenders are coming up for renewal, in which we are eligible, you know, and we are bidding for. So definitely, you know, there are still huge potential in this, visa consular services, and many other services that we can get into.
Okay. Okay, sir, that's it from my end, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Just wanted to understand, we have seen a stellar EBITDA growth and stellar net revenue growth through the visa business, but when it comes to the PAT numbers, we are a bit lagged on the PAT numbers. So, when will it converge to EBITDA growth numbers, the PAT growth, according to you?
Sorry, you're talking about taxes?
No, the PAT number or the PBT number. The PBT number has lagged the EBITDA growth and the revenue growth number in the visa business. So when can we see it converging going ahead?
I think over the period it will. See, currently what is happening because of the accounting standards, the booking under amortization happens much higher. So therefore, the numbers are look little subdued as far as PBT is concerned. But PAT is going up. There's a tax element which is increasing because of now tax has come in Dubai, as well as our expansion in Turkey and India of businesses. There, the tax percentage is much higher. So if you see, as a percentage of tax over PBT is going up.
Okay. What kind of tax number we should build in for FY25 and FY26?
So what we are working on, the last year we were around 9%, on the tax percentage was around 9%. This year we think it will go to around 12%.
That is FY25, expecting 12% and FY26?
12%, I said 12%.
12%. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we looking to utilize the cash, the 590, 690 crores? How are you looking to utilize it? Is it going to be dividends?
As Shikhar said, we are seriously looking at new opportunities and acquisitions as well as expansion of our existing business on new contracts. So those will be there, and dividend obviously will also be part of it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahan Tulshan from Three Vintage Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to understand what the approximate market shares would be for DSS Global and DLS International.
See, exact numbers, you know, since the market is not very structured in terms of any market report or study, so we don't know the exact numbers. But after this acquisition of iData, etc., probably we should be globally at 15-20% market share, you know, in terms of the client governments. And we don't know the exact numbers the competition is at, but definitely they are much ahead.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Mayur Bapudra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Congratulations for the great set of numbers. Sir, just all my questions have been answered. Just one question regarding capital allocation. So, what is the thought process when we acquire any company? We are like for past 3 quarters, we are on acquisition spree, and we invest 1,000 crore in different new companies. So, what is the thought process behind 1,000 crore? Like ROC, ROE, ROE requirements, or what is your thought process behind allocating capital for acquisition?
If you see from a business point of view, we have acquired companies that are in our line of business. You know, they are synergistic businesses, high profit point businesses with good governments they are working, where we can go globally, we can combine our offices, etc. So definitely, you know, whatever margins that they are doing, we can sustain them and learn from them. So that was the strategy from a business point of view, and we will recover our money within a matter of a couple of years. In terms of ROE, ROC, Amit, if you want to add.
So, see, we ensure that our return on investment is much higher compared to what we earn on our dividend on interest on from the banks and the other. So, it's we currently work on ROE of around 15% or so.
Oh, okay, okay, great, sir. And sir, I heard Shikhar sir and Amit sir's saw on Josh talk, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like the understanding of business you provided on that show, and congratulations for the future endeavors. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining in on our Q3 FY25 earnings call. We hope all your queries were answered. In case of any further queries, please feel free to get in touch with Mr. Gaurav Chugh, our Head of Investor Relations, or the Investor Relations team at ENY. We look forward to interacting with you next quarter again. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.